Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
His name is Bobby Marks, the Front Office Insider for ESPN. He's a very busy man this time of year, so we appreciate his time, and he joins us now. Bobby, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
I caught you going at the Grizzlies last week on Twitter. I didn't see that.
I'll tell you what. I think that's the first I've ever had a team respond to something on Twitter. So, that kind of caught me off guard a little bit, considering that they tried trading that guy all season. So, to me, to put a position of need at point guard, considering Mike Conley was on the trade market in February, I think that you got to be careful as far as what you tweet at people for.
Did the Grizzlies account respond to your tweet?
No.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
It didn't make my wife wasn't happy. She doesn't like when I respond to other people and stuff. So, but I felt like it was a time of, there's sometimes there's a time of to defend yourself. I think I felt like that was a time to defend myself, but it was all fun.
I like the way you laid out this on your Mike Conley piece and sort of the right time and when might be in terms of the potential of Mike in a trade with Memphis. Well, it's right or not to trade him, when might be the right time. You tell me. It looked like from reading your piece in between the lines, you think the best time might be after the draft and sort of after free agency has started, and maybe some of these big clubs miss on their top guys. Is that the way to go? Is that the best way to go for the Grizz?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think when you look at we know where Mike's contract is, what he's owed, you know, 2 years left. It's a big number, of course. You saw there was a challenge when it came to the trade deadline as far as moving that to kind of cobble a deal together that made sense for Memphis. I think there's going to be teams that miss out on their free agent targets this summer.
Yep.
Maybe a team like Utah, maybe a team like Indiana is willing to kind of treat Conley like a free agent and absorb that contract. Of course, it will cost them something, probably a future first-round pick. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of, if I am in Memphis and that's the goal is to try to, get as much value out of Mike, I think that's where we're looking at right after, right after the draft. Is there a team out there that maybe has the sixth pick in the draft? How does Phoenix look like at Mike Conley as far as to put him with that group there? Now it's just a matter of trying to get the numbers to work. But yeah, it's a little bit challenging doing deals, the rights to draft players, leading up to, up to July 1 before that moratorium, just because we're still operating under the 2018-19 cap year. So things do not switch over to that until once the moratorium is lifted.
Bobby, let me ask you this. It's sort of a fundamental question, but that's why I love having you on, just that front office view. How much do you have to weigh in terms of whether you want to do the deal with Mike or not before or during the season? How much do you have to weigh the what-if factor? Like with his age, the what-if he gets hurt? How much do you have to actually weigh that as a front office guy? You got to, right?
I think you have to weigh a lot of it. I mean, I think you have to, I think you also have to weigh the personality of the player. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you do not make a trade during the off season, what is the reception, or how will that player handle the first day of media day? How will he handle the first day of training camp? And I think from what I know of Mike Conley, he will handle it fine.
He'd do that well.
But
right, I agree.
There will be a time, and I think I wrote about it, for a new coach, and it's likely going to be an assistant somewhere who prioritized player development, mm-hmm. kind of a clean slate, that you don't want that hanging over your head all season here. And even if this team does get off to a good start, the reality is that we're probably looking at a 30 to 35 win team, maybe a little bit better here, and then we start talking about Mike Conley at the trade deadline again. So it's almost like that deja vu. So I think you kind of look at what his value, and I'm not saying just to go out there and put a for sale sign on the guy and try to just get rid of him, but I think you do have to be a little bit of aggressive, especially If you didn't get the number two pick and John Morant wasn't staring at you, I'd say, hey, let's put pump the brakes a little bit here. Let's wait. But we know where the writing on the wall is. I mean, we really do. We know Jaws is the point guard of the future. Does the new coach think both those guys can play together? Yeah, possibly.
Right.
But I think you can be a little bit of aggressive as far as what direction you take.
I agree. It doesn't make it. Like, I was listening to the broadcast, and with all due respect, and we love the broadcast and ESPN, but the whole you know, narrative of what better guy to learn from than Mike Conley. I'm like, I don't think he's going to be doing too much learning under Mike. I think they're just going to hand him the keys. But in terms of a return for Mike Conley, obviously we don't know exactly who it would include or what kind of draft comments, but the framework of a return that Grizzlies fans might be able to expect, what does that and what should that look like?
Well, it depends on it. Going back to is a team with cap space, or right. If you're looking at teams with contracts. The contracts are hard because you've got to get within 125% of that number. So you're looking at, what, $26, $27 million. So, you know, like example, like Phoenix. And I know that we'll probably be talking about them for the next 4 or 5 weeks. And it's the matter of what – and James Jones has made it pretty clear that, hey, we need to start – we need NBA guys around Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. So – if it is a team like Phoenix, you are probably looking at players like Tyler Johnson, guys on expiring contracts to try to get the money work, and we'll see what they value that pick in. And I think if you can get the number 6 pick in a draft, and even if it's an expiring contract, I think that's something that you do. But we've talked about Utah for a while here, and I think what they do with Derek Favors certainly comes into play. They have a pick in the I think late teens, early 20s here. So I think it's just a matter of, are you willing to take the bet, the first deal that comes about, or are you willing to kind of let this play out a little bit?
We are, of course, talking to Bobby Marks, front office insider for ESPN. Obviously, it was arguably the best luck the Grizzlies have ever gotten in the draft lottery. They jump all the way to number 2. They don't win the Zion sweepstakes, but they do win the Ja Morant sweepstakes. How excited should the city of Memphis be that they're picking number 2 and have the chance to draft Ja Morant?
You know, it's funny. I was talking with a team about this, and I said, you know, if you were looking at Memphis kind of where they were a year ago, and I think I wrote about that in the intro, you know, we really didn't know the sense of direction where this team was going. You know, especially it made the playoffs, I think, 7 years in a row. You missed it. Now you're in a lottery here. And if you asked me, would you take the number 4 pick and, you know, Jaren Jackson and the number 2 pick and Ja Morant over Trae Young and the eighth pick in the draft that Atlanta will have this year? I would say hands down. I think it's not even close that I would do that for Memphis. And you've got 2 foundation pieces. I mean, it is not easy to build through the draft. I think you have to have a little bit of luck and fortune, and I think you saw that last Tuesday night, especially for some of these cities that, let's face it, are not big draws when you come to free agency as far as the A-listers here. Yeah. So you've got 2 players now that are on, you know, great contracts. You'll have them for at least probably 8 years if you play the cards right here. And then it's just a matter of kind of now it's up to you to build around these players as far as putting the right right group of guys. But, yeah, I mean, compared to where we were a year ago talking about this in, you know, mid-May or late April, I mean, they're in a lot better shape.
We bounced this off Gavone last week, your colleague over at ESPN, in terms of just the decision-making on go ahead and putting out to the rest of the league, and I think he put it interested parties that you're drafting Ja, the benefit in that. And he said, look, you know, that number 1, it locks Ja in, right? He can get ready mentally and all that. But number 2, it signals to other teams that you're, you know, you're ready to do the deal on to get ready to listen to offers on Mike. Is that a move you make? I mean, is it or do you just keep the Knicks guessing? I mean, did you agree with that move? Is that something you do as a front office insider, something you've run across before? Letting folks know?
I don't know about as far as kind of, you know, leaking out as far as what you're going to do. I didn't really see any issue with it. I think it does kind of, I mean, I think we all kind of knew where they were.
Of course, right. Yeah.
I don't know if you needed to put out a smoke signal here. I mean, we knew that Ja at 2 and RJ at 3, and then kind of everything else is up for grabs. But I do think it kind of does send a message to the teams. If you are interested in Ja Morant, come make your best offer to us. And Ja, you kind of go from there. And I just don't know. Unless you're going to get some NBA quality players or guys on rookie contracts that are potential to have, you know, all-star appeal, I don't know if there's any offer out there that is worth it. It really isn't. You know, the 2-year guys on 2-year contracts that might help for the next 2 years and then see them leave. I don't see them going down that path there.
No, I'm with you because there's Ja, the player, and the potential he represents as maybe a face of the franchise. But then there's the flexibility it gives you with Mike. So it's perfect, right? You don't mess that up, right? It's on both sides.
Well, it's similar to New Orleans, you know, with with Zion and Anthony Davis.
Yep.
You know, I mean, as far as, you know, with AD, the future of AD, and it gives you that, I mean, a huge, and usually what you were going to have to do is probably try to go get the number one pick and trade Anthony Davis, and now you have the number one pick.
Absolutely.
And you can still build assets around or players around if the desire is still to kind of move Davis down the road.
We are, of course, talking to Bobby Marks, front office insider for ESPN. The Grizzlies are the last NBA franchise without a head coach. Has the coaching search taken too long, or does it really matter when they hire a coach, given sort of their situation?
I don't think it matters. I think they have an idea as far as what they want. I think every team is kind of a little bit different as far as the coaches they target. I think you saw with in LA, they were looking for someone that was more of a veteran that had been in the playoffs in Frank Vogel. I think in Memphis, it's probably more of that number one assistant coach that has paid their dues, is a heavy focus on player development. And there's a strong pool of coaches still out there as far as who they interviewed here. So no, I know we're in mid-May and they don't have a coach yet, but I don't see that as being an issue. The front office will make the decision on who they draft. Certainly you want him in place by the draft, especially going into free agency as far as what your roster will look like in going to summer league. But no, I don't think it's you know, maybe they've been too a little bit tedious and, you know, quite careful, which there's nothing wrong with it. And I said, when you were going through this coaching, you guys have seen it, you better hire the right person, because that swinging door of head coaches that have come through there, it sets organizations back. I mean, I've seen it year in, year out, and I think what you saw in Orlando with Steve Clifford, sometimes the hiring of the head coach is your big free agent addition there.
Yeah. Woj reported last night that the Grizzlies have been granted permission to interview the Portland assistant, Nate Tibbetts. Do you have any sort of recon on him? I've seen his name, you know, mentioned with several openings in the past. It seems like he's sort of that quintessential up-and-comer. Is that sort of your understanding of Nate and what he sort of represents?
Yeah, I mean, a guy who's kind of cut his teeth in the D-League back then and has kind of worked his way up. And, you know, like David Vanderpool and Adrian Griffin, some other names that we've heard, heavy focus on player development. I mean, that's going to be the key here. I think if you can find the next Kenny Atkinson, we all didn't think Kenny Atkinson would be this good of a coach 3 years ago or 4 years ago when Brooklyn hired him. And I think you can. I think that's kind of the model that you are looking for in Memphis.
How tough is Pelinka's job going to be to do after what Magic Johnson did yesterday? I mean, it's like he threw a Molotov cocktail on things, Bobby.
I think he's probably been called worse in his life than what Magic Johnson did to him yesterday. You remember, he was an agent.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I had to deal with some teams had to deal with him. I think, it's I guess for not having a horse in the race, it was fascinating TV yesterday. It really was. And, you know, I guess if you're Magic, that's the way, that's your approach as far as how you do it. I think what will probably keep free agents away from LA is just the constant chaos with that roster.
Yep.
And is that player going to be the next player to be traded here, and how the infrastructure is set up in there. So, I mean, even to the point I had agents out last week in Chicago tell me that they were not sure they were going to send their clients there to work out from a draft perspective, because they didn't want their guys being part of the rumor mill, the Anthony Davis sweepstakes, the kind of that's going to probably happen here. So I think Rob's got a hard job just because there's so many there's so many hands in the cookie jar. I mean, that's
100%.
The hard part is that when you separate from ownership to the business side to what you have people working under you, I think that's going to be the hard part, not what Magic said yesterday on TV.
Gotcha.
And then in the playoffs, the Warriors do complete the sweep over the Trailblazers last night. No Kevin Durant. Has this, you know, I don't always like to get into sort of psychobabble when it comes to sports, because I think you get in trouble when you do that. But it does feel and look like the Warriors have really used Kevin Durant's, you know, injury as hey, we still got a point to prove that we can do this with or without Kevin Durant. Is that what you see when you watch the Warriors right now?
I just see a different team.
Yep.
I just see, you know, I see the ball moving better. I see that next man up approach. I thought their bench had been an Achilles for this team, at least through up to probably game 5 or game 6 in that Houston series. And it's forced players like Quinn Cook and Alphonso McKinney, Jonas Repko and Kevon Looney to just step up to the plate here. And it's instead of Steph and Clay relying on KD, you know, those guys have reverted, and they've always been all-stars, have reverted back to pre-KD. And I think Draymond, how Draymond has played, Draymond's a heck of a player, but I have not seen him play at this level the last, especially those two games in Portland.
No doubt.
Where he is I think Steve Kerr said, a one-ball wrecking machine, and he has kept that team in these games here. So I just think they're different. I'm not in that majority or minority that saying, well, they're better without KD. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Durant is a top pick.
He's a
top two player in this league. Come on. But they're different. You know, they're just a different team as far as how they play.
Might be having more fun without him, but I'm with you. They're better with him. I'm with you.
Yep.
Bobby, thank you for this.
No question. I always appreciate the time, Bobby. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. He is Bobby Marks. Did you realize? I just saw this on his Twitter account. I should have asked him. Bobby Marks is a former football player. He played college football.
I didn't know that.
How do you go from being a college football player to being in the NBA front office?
Did not know that about him.
How many guys have made that jump? That's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
there.
When I see Bobby on television, football is not what I come away with.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.